There is some verses that I want to use here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to use verse 4 down through verse 8. I've been preaching on Sunday night concerning the Lord's church, and I want to tonight to carry with the thought of the idea of successism in the church. Successism in the church. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 4 through verse 8. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, the idea or the thought today, and we have been brought to thinking that is not scriptural. And the first question that I want to ask is, what is success? What is success? Now we're dealing with or thinking about the Lord's churches. According to worldly standards, success is the attainment of fame, fortune, popularity, and prosperity. Now, if you have those things, then the world will say that you are a success. It is sometimes defined as the accomplishment of what is aimed at or desired. Now that's the world's thinking of what is success. According to the Bible, and this is the only inerrant standard, is the standard that is without error. According to the Bible, success is faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to the whole of God's Word. Now that's what success is as far as the Bible is concerned. To a lot of people, as far as the world is concerned, you are not a success. And you will never be a success. Biblically speaking then, success has nothing to do with attainment of fame, fortune, popularity, or prosperity with earthly accomplishments, biblically speaking. But you know, the world pretty well sets a lot of standards. And when the world decides what success is, then people feel like that is the standard of success. But then the second question that I would ask is, what is failure? According to worldly standards, failure is just a lack of fame, fortune, popularity, and prosperity. As far as the world is concerned, if you don't have these four things, you're a failure. It is also defined as a lack of success in accomplishing what is aimed for or what is desired. Now, brethren, I'm going to preach on this sometime soon. But what is being promoted today, and the world is really promoting this, is self-esteem. I'm hearing this on the radio just constantly. Self-esteem. But that's what the world is teaching, and the idea that the world has of really what success and failure is. According to the Bible, though, however, failure is unfaithfulness to the Lord and disobedience to God's word. So, when you think about successism and the Lord's church, now what is successism? What successism is, it is the mistaken application of worldly standards of success and failure to the work of the ministry in the church. Putting the world standards to the Lord's church. When the Lord's church, his standard is God's word. It is not what the world thinks. According to this twisted, perverted philosophy, those churches and pastors who have great outward, visible results or responses to show for their work, as far as the world is concerned, are highly successful. That's successism. While those churches and pastors who have little to show for their labors are dismal failures, as far as the world is concerned. By worldly standards, then, the Roman Catholic Church is successful. If that's the standard or the norm. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Jehovah's Witness, the Assemblies of God, and many others. Compromising religious organizations that are highly successful. By the same worldly standards now, Noah, the Old Testament prophet, was a failure. Noah preached 120 years. As far as the world is concerned, Noah, an Old Testament prophet, was a failure. And even as far as the world is concerned, some of the most faithful churches and pastors on earth today and in history are awful failures. But that's the world's standards. And you know, this is getting over into the religious realm. And many churches today are taking the world's standards for success. They are. Now what saith the Scriptures? Or what saith the Word of God? Well, the truth of the matter is that success and failure in the work of the ministry of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be measured in the terms of attendance, offerings, physical property, responsive decisions, or baptisms. Success and failure in the work of the ministry of the church can only be measured in terms of faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to God's word. Well, I'll tell you, what we need today is people today that are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and love God's word. You're going to have results when you do that. You'll have God-given results, and you'll have the kind of results that will register with God. In fact, God never calls upon his people to be successful. God only calls for his people to be faithful and to be obedient. And that's all that you ever find in the word of God. Go with me to the book of Matthew. And there in Matthew chapter 25. You know, if we adopt the same thing and the world, if they train salesmen and all, and if we adopt the same standards and methods of the world and bring them over into the Lord's church, then we'll get the same kind of results. Matthew chapter 25. Now, the idea here is in beginning in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his servant several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2 also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, Well done. Now notice, thou good and faithful servant. You see where the emphasis is? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou dost therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received more on with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The emphasis in that whole passage of Scripture is, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What I believe that where we miss the mark is, if we'll be faithful to the Lord in doing what the Lord instructs us to do and commissions us to do as a church, then we will not be an unprofitable servant, but we'll be a faithful servant. And I believe that God always, and even the passage of Scripture that we read, and I believe that we ought to always keep in memory what I read to you from 1 Corinthians 3, and there in verse 5 through 7. What we are prone to do many times is to be carnal. And what Paul said here, he said, Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? Now, we know these were men of God, and he's not trying to demean them in any way. He's not trying to lessen who they were and what God had called them to do. But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. But he said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. See, we're not responsible for the increase. We're responsible to be faithful in planting. And then to be faithful in watering. Now here's what happens. You meet people every day, and you come into contact with people every day. Just keep being a good witness to them. And as God leads you, witness to them. Tell them about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't try to make them do something. Just be a good, faithful witness with your lips, and you've got to back it up with your life as to the way that you live. And what that is, that's planting and watering. That's planting and watering. Each one of us come along, one plants and another waters, and you just keep on watering and keep on watering, and then God gives the increase at the time of the harvest. I realize and I know that if you look in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And so what we find is the Scriptures, the truth of the matter in the Word of God, is that God has never called us to be successful, but God has called us to be faithful. You can be faithful as a husband. You can be faithful as a wife. You can be faithful as children. You can be faithful as members of this church. You can be faithful servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, when you come down to the end of life, and sometimes, you know, you come down and people say, well, this is brother or sister so-and-so said, what did they ever do to amount to anything? And isn't it wonderful if somebody can come back and say, well, they were faithful to the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be said? They were faithful. They were faithful in witnessing. They were faithful in giving. They were faithful in visiting. They were faithful to the church that they were a member of. They were faithful. And I realize and I know, and if you look in that fourth chapter, and if you look in verse 2, notice the emphasis how where it's put. Moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful doing the things that God would have us to do. This is what is referred to as biblical success. Successism destroys the purity and the unity of the church as it leads to easy believism. It leads to hucksterism. Tricking people. Trying to trick them and trap them. Said, I believe if you'd have just done this, if you'd have just done this shirt, if you'd just done one more thing, then I believe you'd have got them. A lot of people are going to have to answer for that. The Lord's going to really have a lot of people to answer for that. What it does, it fills the church with tares. It brings discouragement to the pastor and his family. And what it promotes carnality and worldliness in the church. That's what it promotes. Successism. Spiritual success cannot be measured by worldly standards. In the end, the Lord's judgment of a church or a pastor is all that really counts. For here in this passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 5, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. This is the standard of God's Word. More is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And that's really what's going to matter, is praise of God. Praise of men down here in this life is just going to vanish. Sometimes I'm not one to, it's hard for me to heap praise on anybody, and it's hard for me to take praise. Because I know what it does to you. It'll lift you up and cause you to fall. It'll fill you up with pride. That's what it'll do. Written many times, the obsession of the times in which we live is numbers. Brother Cockrell several years ago wrote a tract, Nickel and Noses. And that's a good one. Many want the nickels and they want to count the noses. It needs to be recognized that this is essentially an American syndrome. Numbers. I realize that in the intense occupation with the rate of growth and tangible results and mere bigness, a church's primary motivation should be to glorify God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 31. In that passage of Scripture, He says this, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." So a church's primary motivation should be to glorify God rather than to save souls, or to increase its own size. These other things normally follow when the first is in order. When we glorify God first, then these other things follow. However, the growth rate and ultimate size are under the sovereign control of God rather than under the evaluations or programs of some American businessman. And today, many churches are trying to be run like a business. Effective evangelism is just a normal product of the right relationship with the Lord, according to Acts 8:1, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me." It's not the development of a high-pressure program engineered by religious professionals. And I tell you, there's so much of that on the market today. Y'all would be surprised at some of the things that I read that are on the market today. And I get in mail, I get trash mail all the time after throwing the trash and telling me how you can make your church grow, how you can increase the number in your Sunday school and all these things. And they marketed these things. And if you will follow them, they will work numerically. They're geared to that. The business world that we live in today, they know how to conduct business. But I realize that we're responsible not to the world, but we're responsible to the God of heaven, and we're responsible to the Word of God. What we need today is to get a clear understanding of what biblical evangelism is. Biblical evangelism is the proclamation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with the hope and prayer that God might use that proclamation to produce some genuine converts of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it involves both the Christian and God. That is biblical evangelism. The first thing that I'd like us to think about tonight is the Christian's responsibility in biblical evangelism. The Christian's responsibility in biblical evangelism. Now, you are there in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 10. It is the Christian's responsibility to evangelize out of a desire to glorify God. You know, sometimes evangelism has other motivation. Sometimes it's selfish. Sometimes there's various motives, but I believe that our responsibility to evangelize should be out of a desire to glorify God. That's what he says. "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." That includes witnessing. That includes biblical evangelism. It is the Christian's responsibility to evangelize out of the love for God and love for man. If you'll look over in Galatians with me, in Galatians chapter 6 of Galatians, now you notice I am saying it's the Christian's responsibility. You notice I'm saying that. We are responsible unto God. And we have a responsibility unto God. Galatians chapter 6, and there in verse 10, it says this, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." But listen to this passage of Scripture back earlier in the New Testament, in the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew, and there in verse 36 down through 40, it says this. And we're talking about, we evangelize out of a love for God and a love for man. Now here's what we have to realize in biblical evangelism. We may not love what that person is doing, but we must love the souls of men and women and boys and girls. We must do that. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus saith unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So we not only should evangelize because to bring glory to God, but we should evangelize, and it is our responsibility to do so, out of a love for God and a love for man. It is the Christian's responsibility to diligently plant and water the gospel seed. And you never get through. That's like when pastoring, if you pastor a church over 2 years, well, you're going to go right back over and preach the same things. There ain't nothing else to preach. I mean, here it is in the Word of God. I mean, you know, a preacher pastors a church, you know, if he stays there a year, 2 years, he can run out of soap. Some of them do. But what do? You keep faithfully just planting. You just faithfully keep preaching. What do? You just faithfully keep watering. It is our responsibility. And it's not only my responsibility, it's your responsibility. We're in this together. It's just not me. I hear so many times, well, the pastor ought to do this and the pastor ought to do that. Why don't you do it? It is just as much your responsibility. I do, by God's grace, do some, and I'm thankful that God enables me to do that. It is the Christian's responsibility to faithfully and fearlessly proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the responsibility that God has placed upon every one of us. It is the Christian's responsibility to authoritatively, that is, call upon sinners to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20. And there in verse 21. Now, I believe this. If we together as a New Testament church, if we'll plant, and if we'll water, God will give the increase. Now, I know it of a certainty. I mean, you know, I just don't think He might. That's the biblical order. Why do you think He puts it upon our hearts to plant? Why do you think that He places it upon our hearts to water? Boy, sometimes that watering goes on for years with people. And then we're almost caught by surprise when God gives the increase, and we planted and watered for years. In Acts 20, and 21, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the Christian's responsibility in biblical evangelism. But now secondly, and right quickly, I want us to think about God's business in biblical evangelism. God's business in biblical evangelism. It is God's business to sovereignly give the increase or cause the seed to germinate as He sees fit. And that's what happens. I have to repeatedly go back and remember a verse that I put when I was in Lexington Baptist College, and they put us in that lineup book, you know, put our pictures in there, and they would have a verse. Said, what's your verse? You know, you got to have a favorite verse. And I have to constantly go back and think about mine in Galatians and refresh it in my mind. It says this, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And I tell you, sometimes there's a lot of fainting. I mean, I'm talking about myself. Sometimes there's a lot of fainting. But we have to realize that it's God's business to sovereignly give the increase. It is God's business to produce genuine converts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what a blessing and joy it is when God gives the increase. Now I like to plant. I like to plant the seed. It's going to dry up here and it's going to soon be time. And I don't know why I fool with a garden other than I like to eat out of it. But we should have just as great a desire to plant the seed of the gospel. We should have just a desire to go right back to the very people that we planted that seed to and water it. And then we ought to have just as much a desire to wait and to see God give the increase. And boy, what a joy it is. It's God's business to convict sinners. Look in the Gospel of John in chapter 16. John chapter 16 in verse 8 down through 11. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the priests of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. And you'll see that it is God's business to convict sinners. And the Holy Spirit does that. But it is not only his business to convict sinners, but to effectually draw them. You remember the verses that I used this morning in the sermon that Jesus preached in the 6th chapter? Y'all remember those verses? It is God's business to open their hearts. Acts 16:14, Lydia. And then it is God's business to grant them repentance. Acts 5:31. And it is God's business to give them faith. And what a blessing it is. Now this is God's business in biblical evangelism. And so what we see is, it is God's business then to receive all the glory when sinners are genuinely converted and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all we can do is just rejoice and say, I'm thankful God used me to plant him, or God used me to water. But that's even to the glory of God. If we forget that it's God's prerogative to give results when the gospel is preached. If we forget this, we shall start to think that it is our responsibility to secure them. And that's what happens. And if we forget that only God can give faith, we will start to think that the making of converts depends in the last analysis not on God but on us. And that the decisive factor is the way in which we evangelize, the way we do it. And all of us can fall into that. If we regard it our job not simply to present Christ, but to actually produce converts, to evangelize not only faithfully but also successfully, our approach to evangelism will become pragmatic and calculating. Tell you, the way to tell whether in fact you're evangelizing is not to ask whether conversions are known to have resulted from your witness. It is asked whether you're faithfully making the gospel message known. And that's successful evangelism. And brethren, that's what we need. That's what we need to be doing. Now, how many of us witnessed to somebody this past week? How many of us planted this last week? How many of us watered? That's a good question, isn't it? That's between you and the Lord. And it'll be the Lord that you'll have to give an account to. But when we faithfully do that for the correct motives, then that is what is really biblical evangelism. And you say, well, we're not seeing people saved. How many planting did you do last week? So we're not seeing people say, how much watering did you do last week? The biblical principle is, and successism in the church and successism in the world has turned this thing around. The biblical principle is plant, faithfully plant, water. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. There's going to be an increase. And God's promised us that. And that's the way that it is. So may God help us. May God help us to get this out of our minds and thoughts, what the world has trained us to think is being a success. And let us get back to the old, we say the old black book or blue book or red book, whatever you got. Let's get back to the old book, God's Word. And faithfully plant and water and enjoy the increase. You may be here tonight and not saved. This would be a good time to be saved. Be a good time. Any time is a good time to be saved. And we pray that it would please God. If you're here tonight and not saved, to save you by His marvelous grace. Now, the planting and the sowing's not done here in this building. The field is the world. And where you sow and plant is these people you rub elbows with every day. On the job, in the factories, in the grocery store, your neighbors. May God help us to see these great truths from God's Word. We're going to stand and sing a hymn in closing, Brother Fred. If the Lord's speaking to you, then this church invites you to come as we stand and sing. What number, brother?